Okay, folks, ready to start? So this lecture really closes the database design concepts that we've been talking about. So we've been giving you this toolkit, yes? And in this toolkit, you've got your ERM modeling, you've got your mapping, you've got your EERM modeling for the class structures. Today finishes it off. So the process of normalization is another thing in your toolkit. And the way it differs is that, remember at the start of the course when we gave you a bad database, right at the beginning, we gave you a bad table, a bad database. Well, normalization can be used to analyze whether that table is good or not. Okay, so now you're getting experienced in the module, if you're good at designing ERM diagrams and you're good at mapping them, you never need normalization because your databases will be fine. If you design them correctly and mapped them, you don't need normalization. But I've been in the industry in databases, and I have inherited some poor databases that aren't normalized. Okay, they are bad. They do exist in the real world. If you become database designers, you will be designing databases well. So you won't use it. But it is needed to test whether your database is good or not. If you inherit something from somebody else that isn't, you think, that doesn't look right. So it's a test, really. So what we're going to do is imagine we've got a relation that is bad and we need to decompose it or normalize it is what we're concerned with. We take this and we normalize it. We break it down, okay? We break the database down so that it is what we call normalized. So that it is not open to these anomalous updates that we talked about in week one. Right? And to get there, we talk about first normal form, second normal form, third normal form, and the person who invented it was Codd. Okay? So Codd was the inventor in the 70s, I think, of this technique. Right? So it's still here. So that's what we're about today. So back to remember what we said was a bad database. So the green table here, the green table is so big because it's got lots of information in the same table and it shouldn't have. All right? So the green table shouldn't be that big. It should be broken down into these four tables here. The question is, how do we get there if we inherit something as bad as this? How do I get to this? Well, we get there via these three easy steps. They're called first, second, third normal form. They're rules. Okay, we're going to give you three rules and we're going to practice them during this lectorial as we go. So a little bit of theory again about what we're doing. Let's look at the rules. Let's have a go. Okay, let's have a go at doing it. So what is it? It's another method in your toolkit, in your good database design toolkit. The theory is examining every table you have in your database. The normalization is going certified as good. Certified as good. Ooh, not good. Do something with this one. It's not good. Okay? That's what it's doing. It's stamping your database as being good, if you're in any doubt. So it's transforming any unnormalized schema. A series of tables that is not normalized, the process is going to take it through to a normalized set of tables. That's what it's trying to do. Whilst remember minimizing the storage. If your database is normalized, normalized, your storage will be minimized. If it isn't, things will duplicate. Okay? They'll duplicate when they shouldn't. So that's what we're doing. So we're trying to separate the attributes out and put them into the right tables. When you're doing ERM, that's exactly what you're doing. You're starting there with entities and you're putting attributes into it. And you get the answer when you map it. Normalization's coming from this end. It says, I've got a massive table here. I'm going to normalize it and get the answer. So ERM and normalization come from different angles, but you should arrive at the same thing. Okay? They're two different tools to arrive at the same thing. So it's similar but different, but we should get the same result. So we talk about, as the table gets normalized, we say the database is getting stronger and stronger as we go, and therefore less open to anomalies as we go. So even if we go to the first stage, it gets stronger, but it's still open to anomalies. Right? It's not until we get to the end where that goes. So there's a basic concept underpinning normalization, which is called functional dependency, FD for short. Okay? Functional dependency is underlying the principles of normalization. Yeah, thanks. So what we're trying to do is recognize when a table is trying to model... You're late. We're trying to stop the database from modeling too many entities in one table. That's what we're essentially trying to do. Pull out the entities is what we're trying to do. So, functional dependency is underpinning, it's the theoretical concept that's underpinning the normalization. So what do we mean by functional dependency? To try and keep it simple, let's take your student ID. Your age, in the state of the student table, okay, the age, your age, is functionally dependent on your matric ID. In other words, if I know your matric ID, I know all the details about you. Yes? So if your matric ID is 0702277, that's enough to tell me what your age, sex, nationality is. Okay? So in that respect, your matric number determines all of the other attributes. We say in this case that the matric number is the determinant. Okay, so in this case, A determines B, or B is functionally dependent on A, whichever way you read it. A determines B, or B is determined by A. Read whatever way is most comfortable for you. So I just gave you the example where matric number will be the determinant of many attributes. That's kind of this example here. Okay? In this example, the employer ID, the employee ID, determines the age and the department. In theoretical language, A determines B, C. One attribute determines two attributes in that case. Doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be like that. In this case, two attributes determine one. Can you see that? In this example, the employee ID and the project together determine the role. And there are implications there. So a determinant doesn't have to be one attribute. It could be more than one. Okay? So it could be either way. Many attributes in the determinant determine one attribute or more. Doesn't matter. The general form is that, where A and B could be any number of attributes, not just one. Okay, that's the general form. So, in this example here, all of these attributes, okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 attributes there in this table. the functional dependencies are shown underneath. These are the functional dependencies acting on those attributes. The primary key of this table is here. Okay, the primary key is there, but this is not normalized. So, what do these functional dependencies mean? Take the top one. This means MPID determines age and department. Okay? This one says department determines D size, department size. It's that one that determines that. That's the underlying functional dependency. And there's two others in there as well. But the same principle applies. The determinant is here, without an arrow. The ones with the arrows are the ones that are being determined. Okay? So we'll go on, I think. So one or two rules for what I've just said about the functional dependencies. Just because A determines B is true, it doesn't mean the reverse is. Okay? An age does not determine the matric number, does it? Okay, how many people are 27 in the audience? 24? 22. Lots. Lots of people in here are 22, so there's no way the age determines the matric number, because you've all got different matric numbers. Right? So if I said age 22, you'd all give me a different matric number, so B does not determine A in that case. See? It doesn't work. It works the other way around. So, another key concept of functional dependency is what we call transitive. I like to think of transitive as a stepping stone. Alright? Like that. I like to think of the determinant being it's a stepping stone towards the determinant. So, in general terms, if that is true, that A determines B, and if that is true, that B determines C, it's also true that A determines C. B is the stepping stone, right? A determines C, with B in the middle. Okay? So in that case, C gets to A via B, going backwards. B is the stepping stone. Okay, that's called transitive dependence in the books, in the literature, in the theory. And there's many other rules that can come out. There's about that many. Transitive is one of the key ones. The other one that we're teaching on this module is partial dependency. Okay, so if those are the only two words you remember, transitive and partial dependency, you've done well today. What do we mean by partial dependency? Well, if that's true, if it's true that X determines Z, but it's also true that XY determines Z, Z is only partially dependent on this. Okay, Z is only dependent on part of this, i.e. that. There's a partial dependency in there, and that's critical for the normalization process. We'll see as we go through examples what we mean. So, those are the two key words. Thank you. So back to the diagram that we had before. A question for you. It's about time for one, I think. So a question for you is, looking at these, which you've seen before, okay, these are the functional dependencies. Which of A, B, C, and D is violated by this data? Remember, if it's true that that determines that, if MPID determines age, then for every occurrence of E1, the age should be the same, if it's a determinant. Using that, can you tell me which of A, B, C, or D violates a functional dependency? I'll give you a minute to think about it. See which one you think it is. Maybe just to help you a bit, let's look at A. Is it true that the EMP ID determines age and department?
Yes.
So when A is E1, the age and department are the same. But it has to occur for every single occurrence. It has to obey the rule. So is it true when EMP ID is E2 that the age and department are the same? It is. A is true. There's no violation in A. So using that, it's B, C, or D. Does anybody think B? C. A few for C. D. Not many hands, but quite vocal for D. Well, let's look at D, shall we? Is it true that department determines department size? When department is D2, what is D size? When department is D5, what is D size? We don't know. It could be one of two things. It does not determine it. This is the violation. Okay, D is violating. It's not true. Okay? So that functional dependence is not true. In the case of the data that I've shown you, the data violates it. Alright? Is that clear? So the principles of normalization then are to use these functional dependencies on your tables to try and decompose them if they need to. So we're going to go through the process of what's the primary key of this table? Does it need decomposing? Or is it okay as it is? So I've said it's invented by Codd in the 70s. And what happens through the process is you go through first, second, third normalization form. And that's all we're doing on this module. You can go further, but the cases become rare. The cases become much rarer than that. So you can go on to Boyce, Codd, and even beyond that as well. But we're stopping here. We're only doing those three on this module. So what are we doing here? We're minimizing the amount of redundancy or duplication. We don't want duplication in the database, and this process is going to get rid of it. Okay? So that the anomalies don't occur as a result. So we're talking about a relation's degree of normalization as we go through. Is it in first, second, or third normal form? We really have to push them to third normal form because we know then that they're strong at third normal form. So at each stage, the database is becoming less vulnerable because it's becoming stronger, less vulnerable to duplication. So if you forget, here's a nice little poem for you to remember. Okay, this is called the normalization oath, and you will see it in books. So, no repeating. The attributes depend upon the key, the whole key, and nothing but the key. So help me, Codd. Codd, not God. Okay. I don't usually laugh at that either. Okay, so that might help you. But hidden in there are the rules. It's not just a joke. The rules are hidden within that oath. So they might help you to remember. And it's those we're going to look at. Now, I think. So, remember, what do we mean when something is unnormalized? Well, it means we're trying to do things like this. We're trying to hold the fact that an ID can have many projects. But we can't put B and C into the same cell in a database, can we? Because it's a relationship, one to many. We can't do it. So that's why we end up having a table that isn't normalized if we have the employer and the project details in the same table. That's why things start duplicating. Because we're trying to do this, and it violates first normal form. So they're said to be non-atomic. We can only have atomic values in our database tables. One entry. Yes, one entry, not multiple. So, here we go then. We're starting with first normal form. And the table at the top is bad. Okay, the table at the top is bad. You've seen it before. It needs breaking down. And first normal form is this. We're going to remove what's called the repeating group. And it's potentially quite confusing in the literature, I have to say, this idea of a repeating group. But from the data, we're going to identify this group as the repeating group. It really means there's lots of projects. For each person, there's lots of projects. So in first normal form, I like to take my scissors and cut it in half. Okay? You got your scissors? You cut the board in half. I take my scissors on paper, if I was doing it on paper, but it's too expensive on this. That's it, so here's the scissors. We're going to cut it up there, we're going to send that group that way, and this, what we call the redundant group, that way. Okay? So we've cut it in two. We send project and budget over here. ID, employee, and salary over here. Now, as soon as you remove that group, look what happens to it. There's now no duplication. Okay? This is just a list of employees now, which is what we want, isn't it? Like student. This is just now a list of employees and no duplication of the employee details. Okay? So that's good. It's stronger. But over here, not only do we need to take this after cutting it, we need to bring the primary key from here. Bring the primary key here as a foreign key. Why? Because we must not lose the information that an employee can be on many projects. We mustn't lose it. So you can't make project the primary key without this. Otherwise, you'd have a list of employees and a list of projects. You'd have no idea who was working on them. So you must keep this. You must bring that column with it. And now, you've got two tables linked. It's stronger, it's at first normal form, but it isn't finished yet. It's stronger because you've applied this rule. Okay, so that's the first rule. Cut the paper in two, bring the primary key across to this group, repeating group. Okay? So, that's first. Second normal form is everything to do with, remember I said partial dependency, or full dependency, if you like. What second normal form is doing is taking a table and it's looking at the attributes that are not part of the key. Okay, that are not part of the key. It's testing all the attributes that are not part of the key on the primary key. Now, to test the second normal form, your table must have a composite key. Remember I said partial dependency. By that I mean, if a non-key attribute is partially dependent on the PK, there must be a composite primary key. So if there isn't, don't test it for second normal form. There must be a composite primary key to do this test. You're testing all the attributes that are not part of the key on the key. If any attribute is only dependent on part of the key, you pull it out. Okay, pull it out. You decompose it again. Split the table in two. If any attribute depends on the whole key, and nothing but the key, here's the poem, right? If it depends on the whole key, that's fine. It stays in that table. It's dependent on the whole key. So only the partial ones you're going to pull out into a new table. I think that's it. Okay, that's second normal form. It's always better by example, I think, to see things happening. So let's move on. So, bearing in mind what I just said, this table has a composite primary key. It's MPID and project. And it's the same thing. So, which functional dependencies are violating second normal form? I.e., which of the attributes only depend on part of the primary key? Which attributes only depend on part of the primary key? Which ones? Is this one violating? Is this one violating second normal form? What determines age and department? Part of the key or all of it? It's violating. Okay? Violates second normal form. What about the second one? What determines budget? Part of the key. It's violating second normal form. Pull it out. What about the third one? Role. Role depends on the whole key. It's okay. It stayed in that table. And how about D size? D size looks a bit strange, doesn't it? But for the moment, think of it like this. What determines that is this. But what actually determines that? Part of the key. That violates as well. Okay, so at the bottom here, this is what we'll be left with at second normal form. So the top one comes out as a table. The top functional dependence comes out as a new table. It would be called employee. Okay? This one comes out as a table here. Role depends on the whole key. New table. The third one, here, this goes in here as well, at this stage, yes? D size is in there as well, because it gets there via here. Okay, so it comes out as well in that table. And the last one, the project determines the budget, is here. Okay, so to get to second normal form, we've now got three tables here. Okay, three tables. That was determined by the whole key. The others were only determined by part of the key. So they came out as new tables. Okay, let's move on then. So, third normal form, magic word, transitive. Okay, magic word for 2NF, partial. Magic word for third normal form, transitive. And it's to do with this stepping stone. Okay, third normal form is the stepping stone, and it's to do with this. If X determines Y, and Y determines Z, X determines Z via Y. Okay, so Y is a stepping stone. So what I'd like you to think about for a few seconds only, which of these A, B, C, D could have transitive? Not maybe that it does have, which of those could? What I'm trying to get at here is don't test if you don't need to. So I'm really saying which of these tables could have a stepping stone to the PK? don't test those that couldn't possibly have a stepping stone in between. So which of those could have transitive dependence? B, and only B. B is the only one that could possibly have it. You can't be transitive to the primary key from there because there's no attribute. So what am I saying? I'm saying that to test the third normal form, there must be at least two non-key attributes. At least two. And the only one that's got it is this. It's got three. The question is, though, does it have transitive dependency in it? Should we go on? Oh, should we go back? Do you remember the functional dependence between here? That it was actually department that determined D size. So actually, this would come out as a new table. So department would determine D size. And that's not on this slide, so you might want to write it down. Department determines D size becomes a new table. Okay? And therefore the foreign key in here would now be department. Right? So the department would be a foreign key. D size disappears and goes into a new table. And the primary key of the new table is department. Got it. So we've taken that down again. Through transitive dependence, we've taken that through to a stronger form. So that's it, really. That's the theory of the lecture. So for the last 15, 20 minutes, we're going to try something to try and now practice what we've said. And that's the sheet I've given you. Okay, I've given you a horrible sheet with lots of data on it like this. So the table you've got in front of you is most definitely not normalized. So together, if you want to, if you can, in your long tables, let's first try and take that table to first normal form. Okay, remember, first normal form, you're looking to cut the paper and separate the table in two. See if you can take that table to first normal form. Okay, so this is the table you've been given. We're looking to cut it. Did anybody go for order and product as a primary key? Good choice. Good choice of primary key. And cut it just before the product table, the product column. So cut it there. Okay? Here's the repeating group. Why? Because an order has many products on it. An order's got many products on it. Okay? But the same product could be on many orders as well. So we're cutting it there in red. The repeating group is going that way. The redundant group is going that way. And what are you going to put into the repeating group? The order number as a foreign key is what we'd expect to see. I can flick this on because they can see that here, can't they?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
can I flick it on? It's not going to disappear off here.
No, that's okay. Just keep going. And now, again, that's your slide. The other one was the extra one.
Okay. So at the end of first normal form, we're looking like that. Okay, we've cut it, separated, and put in a foreign key. So instantly, the amount of information about the order has collapsed. The duplication has gone. Okay? The order information does not duplicate now. This does though, doesn't it? The customer information is still duplicating. But at this stage, it's okay. We've got rid of some by doing this, but not all. So on this side, the repeating group is here. Here's the foreign key taken from there to allow an order to have many products on it. Okay? Order number one has two products on it. Order number two has three products on it. That's what's happening in the database underneath. Okay, so we're in first normal form. We need to go on to second. So, again, on your own, in your groups, decide what you need to do on these tables to take them to second normal form. Remember, partial dependency. So the questions you should be asking yourself are, do I need to test both tables or one of them? We all agree that this one does not need testing. There's only one attribute in the primary key. It does not need testing. What have I done there?
Yeah.
Should we just do it here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's already in 2NF, this one, because that functional dependency is true. There's no, can't possibly be any partial dependency in there. It's this one that you're looking at. Okay, thanks. So do we agree that these are the functional dependencies? Do you agree that this is a functional dependency? That product determines desk, supplier, and telephone number. Do you agree with that? That is true. Well, in that case, this is a new table. Product now comes out as a new table. But there's one attribute here that product doesn't determine. So what does quantity depend on? The whole key and nothing but the key. Alright? So quantity goes into a different table with the composite primary key. So should we see those? This one is decomposed like this. And the other one is decomposed like this. And remember, when we split tables, we link them. So this table gets this foreign key link to this. But remember what we did in first normal form, that order number was a foreign key. Remember that? This is still a foreign key back to the table that's not on here that we did in the first stage. Okay? You need to look back probably at what we've done after the lecture. But by second normal form, that has created two tables. So at the moment we've got three tables. Two from this stage and one from the previous stage. Okay, we've got three at the moment. Okay, there they are. Those are the tables in the database at the moment. So this foreign key is linking to that primary key up there. This one links to here. So we're fine. And it's getting stronger because more duplication has gone again. So lastly, we've only got about 2 minutes. So this is the state of the table, the database at the moment. Ask yourself, is there transitive dependency in any of these tables? Well, maybe we'll do one together. Does this one, can there possibly be a stepping stone in here? Great. It's already in second and third normal form. Don't test it. You don't need to, but there could be in these, couldn't there? There could be a stepping stone. Ask yourself if there are. like what determines the customer name? What is it that determines this? What does the customer name belong to? The customer, surely. Surely it's the customer ID that determines the name. In which case, that is true that Petra's just drawn. Okay, there's transitive dependency from name to the order via the customer name, the ID of the customer. Okay, so that's one. Is there any over here? What determines the supplier telephone number? The supplier. I don't go to a product if I want to find out what the supplier's telephone number is, do I? I go to the supplier. It belongs to the supplier. So that's one as well, in red. Those are transitive to the primary key. So these two are going to come out as two new tables. Okay, two new tables linked back the foreign key because you've split them. So I think we just need to look at that. So this one decomposes into these two. Customer details, no duplication now, none. And this is the foreign key linked back to it for the other functional dependence up there. And this one is very similar. Okay, this one, supplier table, this one, the product table, carries this as the foreign key link to that. And this one's okay, you told me so at the beginning. This one is fine. There's no transitivity in it. So, at the end of the mapping, the normalization, at the end of the normalization, because we've gone that way, not that way, okay, that's the final result. The final result of the normalization is those five tables. So just before we go on the next slide, that was the table you started with, right? The ERM for it is underneath. This was question five for your homework, which you all did. Looks of did we? Okay, you did this. Have a look at, just briefly at that ERM. How many tables is it going to create if you map it? One, two, three, four. Where's the fifth table coming from? Hallelujah. This is the fifth table. If we go back, where is the fifth table? It's this one. Okay, this one with a composite primary key for a many-to-many. Isn't it magic? Okay, there's your fifth table. So I recommend you look at that and look back. So just to summarize then, what you need from today are first, second, third normal form from this direction to mimic the ERM mapping exercise that we've done. So here's your reading down here. The main concept is this functional dependency. And if I have 30 seconds, we know all about those. First norm form. We've already shown you this. It's just a reminder, if you're new, if you haven't seen it before, that's the test information coming up in 2 weeks' time.
Much more detailed information in an email last Friday. The other team has checked it.